What a wonderful day this has been for me. I trust it has been for you. I feel like we had a wonderful service this morning in worship unto God. And then we were able to enjoy association and lunch together after the service. And now, of course, we've gathered back for the final service of this day and of this particular meeting. I've enjoyed the meeting so very, very much and being with you, and I'll talk about that briefly at the end of the service to thank you for letting me come and be with you. But it's good to be able to gather back this afternoon and to worship God. I'm going to read for a text from the 90th Psalm, Psalms 90, and I'm going to read verses 9 through verse 12. Listen to what David says here. He says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I might explain that in the state of Missouri, we've been trying to get the Missouri Labor Day meeting started up again. And so 3 years ago, the congregation at Ozark, which is in the Springfield area, hosted the meeting. And the particular theme that they chose for it had to do with stewardship. And so the topic that was assigned to me had to do with being a good steward of time. And that's what I want to preach about for just a little while. I want to share with you some of the things I put together in regard to this topic. Time is something we all have an interest in because we have so little of it here upon this earth. And of course, obviously, it's something that we need to use wisely. So I want to talk about being a good steward of time. Before we talk about that, though, we want to go to God in prayer. So please humble yourself at this time while we do so. In 1923, which would have been some 93 years ago, there was a man by the name of Henry Luce, along with a business partner, who decided to publish the first weekly news magazines in the United States. And they first called the proposed magazine Facts. But then they decided to change its name because they wanted to emphasize brevity. They wanted people to know that it was a magazine that a busy man could read in an hour. And guess what they ended up naming it? They ended up naming it Time. Time Magazine. And they used this slogan. They said, "Take time, it's brief." Well, I believe in a nutshell that pretty well illustrates why that we should all be a good steward of time. Because when we think about the responsibility that we have in regard to time, this is something that falls under the heading of stewardship. In fact, all of our service to God is based upon this biblical principle. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, Peter said, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now you see, the idea is that all of our blessings in life are from God, and we are expected to manage them wisely. I guess this word, steward, or stewardship, is not one that we use today very often, if ever, but certainly it was well understood by the people of New Testament times. A steward was the manager of a household or estate. And usually they were either slaves or freed men. The master of the household would choose someone of perceived ability and character to manage their affairs. And yes, they were expected to deal wisely with the resources that were placed into their hands. I think a good example of this is that of Joseph in the land of Egypt. Remember how that he was bought by Potiphar? And this officer of Pharaoh saw that Joseph prospered in everything that he did. And really, it was because God was with him. And so we're told in Genesis 39 and verse 4 that Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. Obviously, this was a great responsibility, and the steward, of course, was held accountable for his actions by his master. In fact, in Luke 16, verses 1 and 2, here's what Jesus said in the parable of the unjust steward. It says, "And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man." Notice that. In other words, he was an owner of a vast estate of wealth and property. He was a rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, "How is it that I hear this of thee?" And then he said, "Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." Notice, there came a day of reckoning for him. Now, someone might pose the question this afternoon, what does all of this have to do with you and with me in this day and age in which we live? Well, it seems to me the point ought to be clear. God has blessed all of us abundantly in our lives. And think of the vast estate of blessings that God has placed under our control. And what we need to remember is that these things do not belong unto us exclusively in the sense that we can use them carelessly as we please. No, you see, these things are of God, and therefore they are to be used to His glory. Now, our stewardship involves a variety of things, like the talents, the natural gifts that God has given each of us. They have to do with our possessions, and even things like good health. And really, all of the blessings that we have in our lives, whether they be material or spiritual. And listen, as we get to our lesson this afternoon, yes, that includes even time itself. Time, as we're going to talk about today, is a wonderful blessing, a wonderful gift that God gives us in His life. And the question is, do we really think about time from the right perspective? And are we a good steward in how we manage our time here upon this earth? Now, I want you to think about this. And that is, stewardship of time is not possible unless we devote time to good stewardship. In other words, this has to be a priority in our lives. However, this will not be a priority unless, first of all, we understand the importance of time and how this plays a part in our service to God and really in every area of our life. And so that's what I want to talk about now for just a little while. I want to notice with you some things about time that are necessary for us to understand if indeed we are going to be a good steward of time. And I want to begin by saying, first of all, and I think here's the beginning place, we must recognize that time is indeed a precious gift from God. Have you ever stopped to consider today that God is the author? I guess we could say that God is the creator of time. And when you think about it, that's kind of paradoxical. Because after all, God is the eternal one. God is from everlasting to everlasting. He inhabits eternity itself, the Bible says. And of course, God is not limited by time or space like we are. You remember that Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 8 that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. What he's saying is that God is sovereign over time, and really God deals with past and present and future only as it relates to other created beings. And so when God created this material world, that's when time was placed into motion. Remember how the Bible begins? In Genesis 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning. The beginning of what? Obviously, that was the beginning of this material world. I suppose that includes the idea it was the beginning of time itself. In the beginning, he said, God created the heavens and the earth. He went on to say in verse 5 that God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And notice, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Here was the first day that this old world ever knew. And when you stop to think about it, the clock of earthly existence has been ticking ever since that time. Yes, time is a precious gift, and it should be viewed that way for a number of reasons. In fact, when you begin to think about time, I think you can understand its importance to us in this life and how it blesses us in a number of ways. Think about how, first of all, time is something that brings with it organization, that provides us with an orderly and functional and structured way of living. In other words, if we had no sense of time in a material world, what would the result be? The result would be one of chaos and confusion. Can you imagine the kind of conversations that we would have if we had no concept of time in life? Suppose a young man was to say to a young lady, when should I pick you up for our date? Suppose she said, oh, whenever you show up, that'll be all right. You know what? If that were to be the case, I don't think their romance is going to get very far. I don't think they're ever going to be able to make a connection, if you please. Suppose I were to say to you, what time do you want me for supper? And you were to say, no particular time, whenever you want to show up. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have some hungry people because there will be no meeting of the mind. But think about this. Suppose you were to say, Billy, how long are you going to preach this afternoon? Suppose I said, don't worry about it. Whenever I get tired, that's when I'll decide to bring it to an end. Now, that would be my approach this afternoon. I don't think you would be too happy with the outcome. And I'm sure that you're counting on me to have an appreciation for time. I think the point should be clear. It is for our well-being that God instituted the concept of time whenever he created this whole world. But think about this. It is also something that serves as a reference point to measure ourselves by and to keep things in perspective. You see, if there was no concept of time, then none of us, now think about this, none of us would know how old we are. If we didn't have a concept of time, we wouldn't know exactly how long we've been here upon this earth. Now you might be tempted to say, that'd be great. That'd be fine with me. If I never had to have another birthday and I didn't really know how old I was, that would just be great and a wonderful thing for me. But I want you to think about this. Is that really true? Is that really true? You know, there is a soberness that comes by counting up the years and realizing how much time has passed by. And it's important for us to have that soberness, if you please, as we are nearing eternity. And that's why it bothers us, isn't it? When I reached 50 years of age, you know what? That bothered me a little bit. And then finally, when I got to be 60 years of age, it even bothered me more than it did when I reached 50. Next year, I will be 65 years of age. If I live to April, and I want to tell you this, 65 sounds a whole lot worse than 64. And if I see my 70th birthday, I'll probably have a mental breakdown by then. I think that'll probably bother me to realize that I'm now 70 years of age. I'm 64 years of age right now. And you know what I realize? And there's other people in this audience can say the same thing. Listen, I'm closer to the end than I am the beginning. That's the truth. I'm closer to the end of my life now than I am the beginning. And surely that ought to be a sobering thought. And that's why the Bible places emphasis upon this. Remember in Genesis 5, there is a chapter that provides a long list of men who lived and died in the patriarchal age. We're told how long they lived and how old they were at the time of their death. What does that show? It shows that time serves as a reference point. It enables us to see how God has blessed us with a certain amount of time in this world, and we can measure ourselves by that. Did we spend our years, to use the language of Psalms 90 and verse 9, to prepare ourselves for eternity? And the longer we live here upon this earth, do we use this as a reminder of our own mortality? We remind ourselves of the truthfulness of what the Bible declares in Hebrews 9 verse 27, that as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So again I say this afternoon that time is a precious gift from God. But listen, we must make sure that we are viewing things by the right perspective. And of course the right perspective is found in this book right here, as we look to God's word for wisdom and for understanding. It is said one time that there was a man who worked at a factory, and one of his main jobs was to blow the factory whistle at 5 o'clock p.m. each evening to indicate that the workday was over. That was his job. And it is said that he walked to work daily, and he would pass by a jewelry store where there was a beautiful grandfather clock that was displayed in the window. And he was just enamored, and he loved this grandfather clock. And so every morning as he would pass by, he would set his pocket watch to match the time on the grandfather's clock, because he wanted to make sure that, you know, when he blew that whistle at 5 o'clock in the evening, that the time was exactly right and it was precise. It is said that one morning as he walked by this store, the owner was there and he was sweeping the sidewalk. And so he said to the owner, he said, "How do you keep such accurate time on the grandfather clock?" You know what the owner said? He said, "Oh, I set it every evening when the factory whistle blows at 5 o'clock in the evening." You see what the problem was? The problem was, and the mistake that both of them that was making was, that neither one of them was dealing with time in a rather precise way. In life, it is important that we view time by the right standard. And as I've already said, that of course is the Word of God. After all, our time here upon this earth has eternal consequences. That's why it's important. Is it important to be a good steward of time? Yes, because that not only affects us here in this life, these few brief years that we spend here on this earth, but it also has eternal ramifications. And that leads me now to my next point, because I want to say secondly that we must fully realize its importance. And surely the beginning place is to keep in mind both the brevity of life on one hand, and then the eternal consequences involved on the other hand. I think we've already noticed the passage in this meeting that's found in James 4 and verse 14, where James said, "For what is your life?" That's a question we need to think about often. What is our life? He went on to say, "It is even a vapor that appears for a little time. For a little time, and then vanisheth away." The few years that we spend upon this earth are going to determine where we spend eternity. And you know what? It was that sobering fact that led David to say in our text, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, in a moment, I'm going to talk about the need for time management, but let's first focus on the importance of doing exactly what David said here. David said, "Lord, help me to number my days." And I believe the context shows that that involves at least two things. First of all, we have an appreciation for the brevity of life. And David explains that the average lifespan of an individual here upon this earth is 70 years. And he said those who are especially strong might live to see their 80s. Now you think about that. This is what David said. The days of our life are 70 years. David said, here's the average lifespan of an individual upon this earth. It is 70 years of age. Do you know what that means? Or I should write that down here, I guess. The average lifespan is 70 years of age. You know what that means? Listen to me. If you're in this audience and you're 35 years or older, you've already lived half of your life, basically speaking. Half of your life has already come and gone. If you're 35 years or older, then you've already gone over the hump of life, if you please, and you are on the downward course. Now, that ought to be a sobering thought, but what's sobering to me is, as I've already been saying, I've already said in this meeting, I'm an old person. I'm 64 years of age. Where am I? Somewhere around here? I'm closer to the end than I am the beginning. And this is what David said. David said the average lifespan is 70 years of age. He said a person, if they are exceptionally strong physically, they might live to see their 80s. But then you know what he said? I want you to think about this. He said it is soon cut off. It is soon cut off and we fly away. I dare say you could talk to someone who's in the twilight of their life. Talk to someone who's in their 80s, even in their 90s. You could talk to someone who's 100 years old if you could find a person like that. In fact, Sister Coiron of the Sand Grove, Texas congregation, I believe she's 92 years of age, maybe 93. And my brother Jerry went and visited her not too long ago. And Jerry said, you know what? At 92 or 93 years of age, he said she's still pretty sharp. Her mind is still working in pretty good order. But I dare say if you were to talk to Sister Coiron, who's in her 90s now, and you were to say to her in her hundreds now, did I say she's 102? I'm not sure what I said. I told you I'm getting old. She's 102 or 103, if that's what I said. But you could talk to her and you could ask her, does it seem like, you know, that you've lived a long time here upon this earth? I think she would probably say to you, no. Doesn't seem like I've been here all that long. And I really don't know exactly how the time has flown by so quickly. That's the way life is. Life is brief at best. And we need to have an appreciation for the brevity of life. And then secondly, here's the other part, that realization impels us to seek God's wisdom in order to use wisely all the time that we have. Now, in view of the brevity of life and the fact that we have only one chance to get it right, we need to see the importance of time. And I'm going to illustrate it like this tonight. Let me ask you, first of all, is 1 year valuable? What about a year? Is 1 year really that important? Well, I'll tell you what, ask a student who failed a grade. And they'll tell you, yes, 1 year can make a difference. What about 1 month? Is 1 month really that important? Ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. And they'll tell you that, yes, a month can make a difference. What about 1 week? Is it really all that important? Well, ask a child who missed a week of school. And they'll tell you, you can get really behind in just that period of time. What about 1 hour? Ask the businessman whose flight was delayed by 1 hour, and maybe as a result he missed a very important business meeting. And what a difference that made in his life. What about a minute? Is 1 minute all that important? Ask the man who had a heart attack in a restaurant, and a first responder happened to be there, and because he got CPR at just the right moment, and maybe if another minute had gone by, he wouldn't have survived. Can 1 minute be important? What about a second? Can a second make a difference? Well, ask the man who barely missed a head-on collision by just a second of time. And let me ask you this, what about a millisecond? Can a millisecond make a difference? Ask the Olympic swimmer who missed qualifying by 0.6 of a second. My point is, don't ever underestimate the importance of time, including all of its components. And yet, here's the most important question of all, what about a lifetime? How important is a lifetime of living for the Lord? Well, Jesus answered that question in Matthew 16, verse 26, when he said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We need to remember that we have but one life to live, and it is short at best. It is said the greatest queen in the history of Great Britain was Queen Elizabeth. She launched the ships and smashed the power of Spain, and she saved England from Spanish Inquisition, and she ruled over Great Britain's glory days, reigning for some 45 years. And it is said that at the time of her death, that she was a frail woman, now at the age of 70, and she tried frantically to hold on to life. And you know what Queen Elizabeth said at the time of her death? Queen Elizabeth said, "I would give all my possessions for a moment of time." Think about that. We're talking about someone who ruled England. Someone who had it all as far as material things are concerned. And yet she said, "I would give all of that up if I just had one more moment of time in which to live." But you know what's sad? Is to realize that there are those who will never truly realize the importance of their time here upon this earth until it's too late. It's too late when they face death and they face the judgment. But I want to say lastly and finally this afternoon that we must engage in time management, as we might call it. And we're talking about time management that is based upon the principles of God's Word. Now listen, evidently this is something that can be learned. Because David said, teach us to number our days. And it's a reflection of the wisdom that comes from God. He said that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And of course, by time management, I simply mean that we must learn how to use our time wisely and to avoid wasted time. And you know, I'm going to just speak for myself here. But when we talk about time management, it seems to me, in a sense, that's kind of a misnomer. I mean, can you really manage time? Time is something that's always quickly flying and passing by. Can you really manage time? It seems to me what we're really talking about is managing ourselves. See, that's what we've got to do. We have got to manage ourselves. That is the real challenge. And remember this, you really can't save time, but you can invest your time in things that are profitable and that are worthwhile. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Someone has said that if life is made up of time, then he who wastes time is life's greatest prodigal. And that's exactly right. And so how do we manage time wisely? How do we manage ourselves wisely in regard to time. Well, you know, there are things that we need to avoid. We're talking about things like mental clutter. In other words, occupying our minds with things that are hurtful and certainly not helpful. We're talking about emotional clutter. You know, the hurts in our lives sometimes are things that we need to let go of. Sometimes we hold on to things like bitterness and envy and covetousness that do not add quality to our lives, but only end up hurting us and destroying us. What did Peter say? These are things we must lay aside. Lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy, he said. And then as newborn babes desire the milk of God's word that we may grow thereby. There are some things that occupy our time that we've got to put away from ourselves. That emotional clutter that sometimes we really nurture in our lives. And of course, obviously, another thing that hinders us from managing time wisely is procrastination, where we don't make the most of today's opportunity. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 1 that we should not boast ourselves of tomorrow because we don't know what a day is going to bring. It has been said that the best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago. The second best time is today, and the second best time is the only time that I have. And that's exactly right. The past is gone. We can't live in the past. The future is time yet to be. We can't live in the future. All we have in this material world is right here and now. And that's why the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. If there's someone in this audience tonight who is lost, who needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, all I know is this is your opportunity. This is the most opportune moment right now that you have to step out and place your faith in Christ and repent of your sins and make that good confession and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And who knows? Who knows whether or not you're going to have another opportunity to do that? I don't know that. You don't know that. If there's someone here who's in a backslidden state, you need to come back to the Lord and take your rightful place in the church again and start living for Him again as you ought to do. This is the most opportune moment right now that you have. And as far as I know, or you know, or anyone else knows, it may be the only last moment that you have. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, this could be the last service. This could be the last gospel meeting that any of us, could be really all of us, in this audience will ever attend. This may be the last sermon that you will ever hear. Who knows? And I think I understand that today. Really, I think I understand that as well as anyone can, because I'll tell you what, that was brought home to me several years ago. Several years ago, I held a meeting in Arvin, California. It's in the Bakersfield area. And I don't think that the congregation's not there anymore. And on a Wednesday night, I preached in sermon I used to preach when I first started out. I don't preach it anymore. But it was called "If a Man Die, Shall He Live Again?" And I went through this little part of the sermon, you know. I don't think I really understood how true it was. But I said, you know what? This may be the last service somebody in this audience will ever attend. This may be the last sermon that you will ever hear. And you know what? That turned out to be almost prophetic, because that was the case. There was a man who was sitting out in the audience that night, a fine Christian by the name of Bob Terwilliger. And would you believe that he left the service that night and he didn't make it home? He didn't make it home. He was driving out in the country out there. They don't know exactly what happened, if he went to sleep or something happened, but evidently he drifted over into the next lane, you know, with oncoming traffic, and there was a head-on collision. And I think what happened was, is he
staggering around out there in the middle of the highway, and an 18-wheeler came along and ran over him, never even stopped, and they wondered whether or not the 18-wheeler even knew what had happened. And you know what? His life came to an end. It was the last service that he ever attended. When I say this afternoon, this could be the last service that you'll ever attend. That could be the case. That could be the case with me. That could be the case with any of us. All we have to do is get out here in our car, head down these roads, and we are talking about the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We know what the kind of driving that we have to go through and all the maneuvering and all of that. All you have to do is go out here and make the wrong turn or let somebody else make the wrong decision, and life could be over just like that for you. Or for me. Let us remember that whatever condition we die in, that's going to be the condition we're going to stand before Jesus Christ in the day of judgment. Listen, you need to make things right with God. This is your opportune moment to do it. Do it now. Do it while you have the time and the opportunity. And I'll tell you something else. Do it while you have the desire. There's something else that comes into play. Maybe right now you have a desire to get right with God. Maybe you intend one of these days to get right with God. But you know what? One of the dangers is when we harden our hearts against God and we procrastinate and we just put that off, it is possible for the heart to eventually become so callous to where we get to the point that we no longer have the desire to get right. Like you once said, I'll tell you this, if you ever get to that point, if I ever get to the point to where we cannot renew ourselves to repentance, like Paul put it in the book of Hebrews, we're in a bad shape because we can't do what we need to do to get right with God. Is there someone here who needs to obey the gospel? Someone here who needs to be restored to the faith? We believe in you this afternoon. Please come as your family says.